The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Everybody must eat, says the fat woman, as it happens. She says this as people exit, I guess, maybe it's a convenience store, but they're exiting with what looks like alcohol. Everybody must eat. Do you think any of these criminals will end up languishing in jail for 2 years while they await their trial date? Do you think this will trigger the biggest investigation? This is Philadelphia last night. Do you think this is going to trigger the biggest DOJ investigation in history? Certainly not. I think 15 or 20 people were arrested. They'll probably be out on the streets in a few days. Organized crime in Philadelphia. This is basically any city in the United States of America today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily and you're right there. Every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States. Of course, all of the shows are posted after the fact if you prefer to listen or to view on demand. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Stephen Fleury. It takes you right to the Twitter page, or the X page, I guess they now call it. Lots to get to on today's show. I mean, we're seeing organized crime. I mean, so many of those license plates, they just took them off as they coordinated all of this on social media, hiding behind some sham of a protest over some incident with a police officer weeks ago. They use this as their opportunity to destroy. They break into the iPhone or the Apple store and realize, well, the iPhones, they can track you with those. So they just take them outside and start smashing them. Why not? And then raid the liquor store. Everybody's got to eat, right? Raid the liquor store. You think about what's happening in America's cities. I mean, how much longer? It's already happening. These 9 Target stores closed. Target is as woke as any store in America. And they're closing 9 stores in big cities because of what you saw just right there. This is coming to every big city in America. It's already happening. It's already happening. What is, look at what's happening to the United States. I mean, this is just crime in the big cities. What about what's happening on the southern border? Some have said by the end of the fake Biden administration, as many as 10 million migrants will enter the United States illegally. And where do they go? Well, some of them are going to New York City. So they can join in on the mayhem, I guess. It's really shocking and sad to see this happening. In the United States, I mean, those images, that's not from some third world country. That's from the streets of Philadelphia. And the same thing has happened in Seattle, in Portland, in San Francisco, Oakland, Houston, Chicago. It's from the Star Tribune. Target Corporation will shutter 9 stores across 4 states on October 21st because of theft and threats to safety, the company. And at least the company's being honest. And by the way, all of these companies are coming under heavy pressure from activists to not close their doors. Never mind the shoplifting. Never mind the looting. You've got to stay open. If you close your stores, that's racist. And even still, some of them are saying, we've got to close it. How can you make a profit in this kind of an environment? It says Target said it made the difficult decision to close the stores, which include locations in Harlem, New York City, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco. You seeing a common theme here? All of these big cities and these left-wing districts? These communist mayors, these communist governors. Gavin Newsom, he's lining up to try to run for president next year. And look at what's happening in his cities. He's just now, by the way, he's just now starting to clean up the streets to some degree. Because, well, I mean, he has a political motivation here, you see. We cannot continue operating these stores because theft and organized retail, organized, they get on social media and they say, hey, there's this protest over this incident. Let's use this as an opportunity to destroy and burn and loot. And they turn out in droves and they block out the license plate numbers. And they get away with it, most of them. 15 to 20 arrests? Is that all from last night? Well, they've arrested over 1,000 from January 6. We cannot continue operating these stores because theft and organized retail crime are threatening the safety of our team and guests and contributing to unsustainable business performance. That's a statement from Target. Listen to Fox News talking about the scourge of crime in America's big cities. Clip 6.
Again, they got a new chief here in Philadelphia, but it doesn't look like it's helping the citizens there.
Well, what happened last night in Philly, there's a backstory to it. There was a demonstration yesterday for a fellow by the name of Eddie Izzazzeri, who was shot and killed by Philly cops last month. Yesterday in Philly, a judge dismissed all the charges against the officer who killed him and set off a wave of outrage. Now, according to the acting commissioner down there, he says the supporters had nothing to do with the unrest. He said, quote, what we had was a bunch of criminal opportunists take advantage of a situation and try to destroy our city. It's disgusting. He says our city can't afford this nonsense. And it happened in exactly the same retail corridors as what happened back in 2020 after George Floyd.
Ah, yes, the summer of love. So waves of destruction, criminal opportunists waiting for some protest. If a police officer shoot and kills someone in Philadelphia, well, that's an excuse to burn down the city, I guess. If a police officer shoots and kills a protester on January 6th, as with Ashley Babbitt, where were the widespread protests or city burnings after that? There weren't any, were there? You see where the communists left. You see where they sit with respect to protesting and violence and looting. They're definitely pro-violence and they're definitely anti-law enforcement. As long as it's their foot soldiers creating the mayhem, then they're fully behind it. Then they want to defund the police. This is just one example And you see these images, truthfully, I saw them this morning as we were hunting for clips and thought, well, you know, we see that all the time. Do we really want to lead the show with that? That's how bad it is. Listen again to Fox News, clip 7.
And some of these stores now have to close because of the crime. It used to be because of COVID. If you drive down 1st or 2nd Avenue here in New York, you see so many businesses that are closed. It really makes you sad. You pass by restaurants that have closed, didn't survive, and now it's the crime. Even Target's closing, what is it, 9 different stores, Brian?
Yeah. Right. So you have Target closing 9 different stores, including one right out here in New York City.
The one in Harlem.
And people want to say, well, it has a lot to do with people ordering online. Yeah, not really. These are smash and grabs. These are shoplifting. This is a lack of enforcement. This is the inability for your own private security that you hire out of your pocket to actually do their job, because they're going to get hit. So CVS has closed 10% of their stores, 900. Then you got these
900.
Then you have the Target stores closed in these major cities, and they're not shy about it. You're not protecting the stores. Why am I staying open? I don't need this. And you continue to look the other way. The question is, as we saw that Dallas mayor flip parties, yep, and say, listen, I'm going to be a Republican. How much more are the retailers, the citizens that work for a living in working class communities going to take before they stand up and speak out?
Yeah, he brings up a good point, too, about that Dallas mayor that flipped over to the Republican side. Now, again, there may be some political opportunism in that, but still, there's also just the reality of what Democrats are doing to our cities as they target law enforcement, and they tolerate this. CVS, Target, Walmart, Walgreens, they're closing stores in big cities. This hurts poor people, obviously. I mean, it might help Amazon. It might actually help some of these mega companies that basically just do everything by mail. But, you know, people living... To assume that everyone in the inner city is connected to the internet and can order things. I mean, what about when it gets so violent in the inner city that Amazon says, I don't know if I want to send our drivers in there. That's where this is headed. This from the Philadelphia Inquirer. By midnight, police had arrested between 15 and 20 people, many of them juveniles. At least 2 guns were recovered. Oh, it was an armed insurrection. There were guns? That's right. Just 15 or 20 people arrested. Nobody's going to be interested in how long those 15 or 20 people remain in jail. But I suspect it won't be for very long. Oh, they're just having fun. They just coordinated the organized crime on social media. They just smashed up some windows, destroyed a lot of iPhones, stole a bunch of liquor because everybody's got to eat, right? It says here the unrest stretched across the city. Initial reports of break-ins near Rittenhouse Square began at 8 p.m., shortly after protesters had dispersed from a peaceful gathering at City Hall, where marchers called for justice for Eddie Izzazari. Says Stanford was quick to make clear that Izzazari's supporters had nothing to do with Tuesday's unrest. He called the young people who looted criminal opportunists who were not affiliated with the earlier gathering. Says what we had tonight was a bunch of criminal opportunists taking advantage of a situation and try to destroy our city. It's disgusting, he said. I guess this is the mayor or some law enforcement official. Our city can't afford this nonsense. I mean, no city can. And yet Target, you know, as woke as they are, at least they came out with an honest statement. We've got to close 9 stores because it's just too dangerous. We can't make a profit in this climate. So they're shutting down the stores. That's just crime in the big cities. Then you think about the fundamental transformation that Barack Obama's orchestrating at the southern border. This is from the Washington Free Beacon. It says the Department of DHS was aware that a large population of migrants was preparing to cross the southern border months before a near record number surged into the country this month, internal documents obtained by the Free Beacon show. But appears, this is DHS, but appears to have taken no action to forestall an influx that has overwhelmed local officials across the United States. They knew it was coming. And the dirty little secret is they wanted it to come. They wanted it. They want this avalanche of illegals just flooding into the country. Fundamental transformation, right? The DHS knew all about it. What was it Buttigieg said the other day? We played it for you on yesterday's show. Yeah, but Biden did exactly what was needed. He when the millions upon millions came in, Biden took action, and he did exactly what was needed to be done. And what was that? Well, we don't need to get into details. He just did everything right. That's Pete Buttigieg. This is from the Daily Caller. It says here, police officers in Oakland have reported more than 10,000 motor vehicle thefts in the city since the start of 2023. That's this year in the city of Oakland. I saw a little video last week of this gal. She flew to San Francisco. She had to stay overnight before she was going to take this long trip to Bali or somewhere internationally. She got a rental car, parked outside the coffee shop for 4 minutes. And a smash and grab happened. All of her luggage, all of her ID, all of her money, her passport, everything stolen. Just like that. And she's there, of course, talking about how her trip, her plan, all of her plans are ruined. That's in San Francisco, right next door to Oakland. 10,000 auto thefts, motor vehicle thefts in the city since the start of this year. This is organized crime. And it's worsening by the day. It says here at least 133 vehicles were stolen between September 11 and September 17. That's 1 week. And an additional 12 vehicles were carjacked during the same period, according to OPD data. I think the population in Oakland is not quite as big as San Francisco. It's something like 400,000 people. I mean, this is just Oakland. These are stats from the Oakland Police Department. Hundreds of carjackings, car thefts per week in a medium-sized city in the United States of America. This is from Cleveland. Fox News says more than 1,000 children have been reported missing around Cleveland, Ohio this year. This is Cleveland. I'm not sure how big Cleveland is. It's a big city. But 1,000 children going missing in 1 year, not even a full year, in one city? That's right. That's Cleveland, Ohio for you. I'm about to fly there for our fall convention. Cleveland. How's this not a huge story on Morning Joe? These, by the way, these are all stories that Morning Joe just glosses right over. No problem in New York City with the migrant crisis. No problem in Philadelphia with the looting and the burning and the stealing and the utter destruction. No problem. No problem with all the auto thefts in Oakland. I mean, you listen to some of those people and they say, hey, these are conservatives that are just, you know, they're blowing it up. It's overblown. It's not really that big of a problem. I mean, after all, me and Mika, we can order everything on Amazon. We don't need to go to CVS. We certainly don't need to go to downtown New York City to shop at Target. They don't even cover it. It says here, for some reason in 2023, we've seen a lot more than we normally see as far as abductions and all that goes in Cleveland, which is troubling in part because we don't know what's going on with some of these kids, whether they're being trafficked or whether they're involved in gang activity or drugs. It says there's always peaks and valleys with missing persons, but this year it seems like an extraordinary year. Yet another record-setting year when it comes to crime, human trafficking, drug addiction. What is happening to the United States of America? Earlier this year, we had the Trumpet magazine comparing America's fall to that of Rome, ancient Rome. We're going the way of Rome, for sure. I mean, we've been, obviously, almost every day speaking of Donald Trump's return to office and God orchestrating that to ensure that the name, even the name of Israel, is not blotted out. But look at what is being blotted out. And we've talked about the temporary saving of the nation through that Jeroboam administration. But honestly, you look at some of these stories and you have to say, what will be left to save when Trump comes back? That's a serious question. How is he going? How are these kinds of problems going to be solved? 1,000 children go missing in Cleveland? A demonstration in Philadelphia that the organized criminal network uses as an excuse, a pretext, to go destroy the city. Targets closing stores all over the country. There's always been peaks and valleys with missing persons, but this year it just seems like an extraordinary year. And the year's not even over yet. We're not even through September. We've got October, November, December to go. More than 1,000 missing children in Cleveland? Yeah, you heard that right. This is from the Daily Caller. It says here, data released Tuesday shows that Americans filed more than 39,000 bankruptcy cases in August 2023, an 18% increase from the same time last year. How about that, KJP? How about that? All of these Biden spokespeople out there saying the economy's as good as it's ever been. 18% more as far as bankruptcies go. 39,000 in August alone. The data released details how along the personal bankruptcy filings, there were more than 41,600 new bankruptcy cases recorded in August, including for businesses. This marks the 13th consecutive month that bankruptcy filings have shown a year-over-year increase under the Biden administration's embarrassing and dangerous economic policies. 13 months of increases when it comes to bankruptcy. Listen to this. It says the bankruptcy filings are not a surprise to anyone with a finger on the pulse of the domestic and global economy, but likely come as a shock to those just trying to keep afloat. Says, as so many families were lulled into a false sense of financial security during and after the COVID-19 pandemic, their ill-fated spending habits have landed them in hot water. The government will come along and rescue everyone in the COVID pandemic, send out free money to everyone, up the national spending each year to $7 trillion, keep it at $7 trillion thereafter. I mean, don't tighten your belt. Certainly not. Just keep running up the tab. America's not that far behind from these individual and small business bankruptcy filings. Listen to Matt Gaetz in his floor speech from yesterday, clip 5.
And our record in this country right now is $33 trillion in debt facing $2 trillion annual deficits. We're in so much debt. We're driving up deficits so fast, we are devaluing American money so rapidly that in America today, you can't even bribe Democrat senators with cash alone. You need to bring gold bars to get the job done, just so that the bribes hold value.
That's a bit of a smackdown aimed at Bob Menendez, the senator who reportedly had gold bars given to him from Egypt or wherever in exchange for political favors. Pay to play. That's a sitting senator of the United States. He's got his own party screaming, you got to resign. You've got to resign. And he says, no way. Not going to do it. Hey, I had these kind of charges 10 years ago and I survived that. I'll survive this one. How does America survive this? You see what's happening in our cities. You see what's happening at the southern border. You see what's happening in the swamp. And they're all working together to get some kind of compromise. Gaetz refers to $2 trillion added to the deficit. I think I heard Steve Bannon this morning say that the income for the United States is not at $5 trillion. It's actually more like $4.5 trillion at best. How does a nation survive taking on $2.5 trillion in deficit spending every year? Not $2.5 billion. Not certainly not $2.5 million. How would you survive if you spent just $2.5 million more than what you take in every year? How long would that continue? How long could you sustain that? And yet there's plenty of people in Congress that say, hey, there's 28 Republicans, as I saw in a tweet earlier, that lined up today in the Senate saying, send the billions to Ukraine. We've got to fund them. I covered this yesterday on the show. We've got to build their military. We've got to pay 57,000 salaries. We've got to rebuild their cities. What about Philadelphia? What about the 9 targets that are closing in Philadelphia or wherever? Harlem, Portland, Seattle. They can't survive. It's too violent. There's wars going on in the cities of the United States. And the only thing that Mitch McConnell can focus on is the war in Ukraine. I mean, that's a tragedy. These are two corrupt nations. Russia, I mean, possibly the only nation more corrupt than Ukraine, as far as leadership goes, is Russia. And that's what the senators and so many of the Congress people in Washington are obsessed with, even as they see the United States going up in flames, in some cases, literally. A wide open, porous border. What must the world be thinking as they see these images coming out of Philadelphia or Oakland or San Francisco or at the southern border, Eagle Pass? When they see the feds, you know, cutting that razor wire and opening it wide so that all the illegals can stream in. Do you think Germany would treat illegal immigration that way? Or Japan? Or Russia? You think they'd just go to the border, cut the razor wire open, and invite the world in? Who does this? Joe Obama, that's who. Barack Hussein Obama. He told us in 2008, 5 more days, and we fundamentally transform the United States of America. That was, 15 years ago? America Under Attack. I'll give you a quote. This is the book. Call our operators today if you don't have a copy in order. AUA 1-866-930-3024. That's the 800 number for those of you in the U.S., Canada, the Caribbean. It says, across the globe, people are asking the same question. What has happened to the United States of America? What has happened to America? It says, in just a few short years, the wealthiest, most powerful, most influential single nation in human history has become dangerously radicalized, divided, and weak. Who's going to come forward with solutions to what happened in Philadelphia last night? How are they going to solve that problem? You use some sham demonstration as a pretext to blow up the city, to destroy businesses? How do you solve that? It says here, it has rapidly fallen into political dysfunction, social division, economic woe, judicial and legislative compromise, and catastrophic moral failure. No one talks about that last bit. Catastrophic moral failure. Like what you see. Raid the liquor store and then film it and then laugh and then say, everybody's got to eat. That's in the United States. The laughing that goes on, even as they film these criminal acts. There's more criminal acts. This is me editorializing, but there were more criminal acts recorded on video last night than what anyone has seen on January 6th. This is why they don't want to release all the footage. We're still waiting, by the way, Kevin McCarthy. They don't want to release all the footage because they don't want to show the world that 95, maybe 99% of it was peaceful, and that the police and the FBI facilitated what violence was actually there. I mean, how do you fire flashbangs at a crowd of peaceful protesters outside the Capitol and say that this was a violent insurrection? Those police officers were firing explosives. It's on video. They were firing explosives into the crowd. They were trying to incite the crowd. Quite unlike the one you saw in Philadelphia last night. They just said on social media, hey, let's get together and loot it up, man. You think those criminals, like I said at the top, you think those criminals are going to be behind bars for even 2 years waiting for a trial date? They're probably not going to be behind bars for even 2 months. That's the truth of it. This is where we are in the United States today. Moral failure. How do you fix these problems without addressing the catastrophic moral failure that's on display every day? Says this nation is committing suicide at the hands of certain powerful people in government and in society. They are actively, intentionally sabotaging this special nation from the inside. It's an attack from within. The crime, the criminal activity, is not limited to these low-life thugs in Philadelphia. No, no. The sickness, as Isaiah 1 prophesies, the sickness is from head to toe. So you got people down on the toe level, they're committing criminal acts without being punished, and you've got people at the very top committing criminal acts without being punished. Listen to this from James Comer just yesterday, clip two.
Well, I can tell you that on the wire that Hunter Biden received from the Chinese national, the beneficiary address listed was Joe Biden's home address at a time where I'm pretty certain Hunter Biden was not living in the home of Joe Biden. But if you go back even further than that, this Jonathan Lee, who wired the $260,000 from China to Hunter Biden's personal account, he is part of the Chinese Communist Party. He is a huge business person in China with a Chinese-backed entity that funds investments in the United States. So what the one issue in Congress that Democrats and Republicans agree on is we don't want China taking over industries important to our national security. We don't want China buying farmland. This is the guy that does that. Jonathan Lee is the person who represents China. And if you research it, Joe Biden met with Jonathan Lee. He wrote a letter of recommendation for his child to get into college in the United States. There is a relationship that was developed between Joe Biden and Jonathan Lee when he was vice president, and now we have evidence that Jonathan Lee, who Joe Biden said his son never took any money from, said his son never took any money from China. Hunter Biden's lawyer said that Hunter never received any money from this guy. We have evidence that he received over $250,000, and the address listed on the wire was Joe Biden's personal residence.
$260,000 wired from Jonathan Lee, the CCP guy, to the Joe Biden home address in August of 2019. As you heard there, Comer said they developed the relationship while he was vice president. Obviously, it continued while Biden was out of office, still getting money in 2019 while Joe Biden was running for president of the United States. And so what say the regime media? Well, I mean, Biden wasn't officially president yet, so, you know, accepting $260,000 from the CCP, it's not a big deal. Well, what about the fact that a year after he got that $260,000, he said he and Hunter never got a dime from China? Remember this exchange at a presidential debate in the fall of 2020? This is clip 10.
Number one. Number two, I don't make money from China. You do. I don't make money from Ukraine. You do. I don't make money from Russia. You made $3.5 million, Joe, and your son gave you. They even have a statement that we have to give 10% to the big man. You're the big man, I think. I don't know. Maybe you're not. But you're the big man, I think. Your son said we have to give 10% to the big man. Joe, what's that all about? It's terrible.
All right, gentlemen.
My son has not made money in terms of this thing about, what are you talking about, China.
Haven't made any money from China, says the big guy, assuming he is the big guy. And when he said this, that statement you just heard, he got $260,000 from China just a year earlier. A year earlier. Comer's statement yesterday, it says, bank records don't lie, but President Joe Biden does. Well, that's certainly the truth. In 2020, Joe Biden told Americans that his family never received money from China. We've already proved that to be a lie earlier this year. And now we know that two wires originating from Beijing listed Joe Biden's Wilmington home as the beneficiary address. And so what does the regime media do? Of course, they just brush this aside. No big deal. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see in Philadelphia. Nothing to see in Cleveland with all these child abductions. Nothing to see with all the Target closings across these deep, dark blue cities. Nothing to see at the southern border. Certainly not. What do we really want to focus in on? Hey, there's a judge in New York City that's trying to confiscate Donald Trump's properties. Let's make that our number one story. And so they all, like rabid dogs, following after a piece of flesh, they all chase after the bad orange man. The same man, by the way, who called out Joe Biden in 2020 for receiving payments from China. Who was right? He was right. Donald Trump was right. It says here, listed Joe Biden's Wilmington home address. It says, when Joe Biden was vice president, he spoke on the phone and had coffee with Jonathan Lee in Beijing and later wrote a college letter of recommendation for his children. Pretty close relationship between Lee and the Biden crime family. And one that also resulted in the Bidens receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars that we know of. What is going on here? It's sickness from top to bottom. It's sickness from head to toe. Isaiah 1, read it. Verse 4, verse 5. I mean, that alone tells you all that you need to know about who we are in Bible prophecy. Where did those lost 10 tribes of Israel go after they were taken into captivity up through northwestern Europe? What happened to them? Did they all disappear? I mean, the Jews didn't disappear. We know where the tribe of Judah is. We know there are Jews today. What about Ephraim? What about Manasseh? What about Reuben? What about all the other brothers? Well, if you want to study that subject, excuse me for veering a little bit off course, but if you want to study that subject, here is the United States and Britain in prophecy. That's right. Prophecy has something to say about this nation. Prophecy has something to say about what happened in Philadelphia last night. Read Isaiah 1 and verse 7. What is happening to America's cities? It says here, Joe Biden's abuse of public office for his family's financial gain threatens our national security. Well, that's a strong statement from Comer, but I might just add to that, then where are the impeachment proceedings? If you get $260,000 from the CCP in 2019 after you said you got nothing, where are the subpoenas? Matt Gaetz is onto something. Why isn't the DOJ being defunded? Why aren't there 221 Republicans lining up saying, that's it, no budget, no, the government's going to shut down because the government is corrupt. The government is part of the problem. But no, they'll come up with some kind of friendly compromise, some kind of bipartisan legislation. Keep those continuing resolutions just moving through. Keep spending $7 trillion, even when you're only bringing in $4.5 trillion. Hey, the party will just continue, and we could stay in power. That's really all that it's about. Stay in power, and then if you can, line your pockets with gold bars. Gold bar Bob. Sickness. Top to bottom. It says, what did the Bidens do with this money from Beijing? Americans demand and deserve accountability for President Biden and the First Families. Americans are demanding it. And so the Republicans are going to really respond with a good committee hearing. That'll get to the bottom of this. I mean, good for Comer for turning this over, for revealing this. But where is the accountability? Let me just read this to you again. Their abuse of public office for their family's financial gain threatens our national security. Well, that's serious, James. That's serious. If it's threatening national security, throw the subpoenas out there. Cut off funding to the DOJ that seems obsessed with going after Trump on multiple fronts, but certainly not Hunter Biden. Certainly not the $260,000 wired from the CCP. Sickness. It's on full display. 2 Timothy 3, I haven't mentioned this passage in a while, but Paul says there that in the last days we're going to be coming into dangerous and perilous times. Read that description, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4. It's a perfect description of what's happening in our nations today, for sure. No doubt about it. Newsbusters said here, early Tuesday evening, this story broke last night. Have you heard about it today? And maybe if you saw, maybe if you watched Fox a little bit or Newsmax, maybe you saw this story. But if you woke up this morning and turned on Morning Joe, I didn't do that. But I suspect there was nothing on this subject. $260,000 wired from the CCP to the Biden family, to Joe Biden's home address. Hello. Is anybody in the regime media listening? Does this kind of, you know, trigger any alarm bells? Comer's right in that it threatens our national security, but, you know, anybody going to do anything about it at the DOJ? Are there going to be indictments? There's not even going to be subpoenas. Nobody has seen fit to subpoena Hunter Biden yet. Yeah, the Republicans have been in control since January. No Hunter Biden subpoenas. I mean, that's just mind-boggling. That's mind-blowing, really. No, of all the 221 Republicans in the House, I'm sure someone like Gates came forward and said, hey, how about Hunter? How come there haven't been 221 Republicans saying, first item on the list with respect to this committee investigation, we're going to get Hunter in here. And then we're going to drag all these people that went after Trump for 3.5 years. We're going to bring them back in some cases. And then we're going to release the transcripts every other day. We're just going to pummel the regime media with the truth. We're going to make it so obvious, and it's just going to be a deluge of information after they come in and they have to testify under oath that they can't not. They just simply can't ignore it. They can't. Early Tuesday evening, Fox published a bombshell report on the documents released from the House Oversight Committee, James Comer, showing $250,000to Hunter Biden received from his Chinese business partners, and it had President Joe Biden's address listed for the wire transfer. $250,000, and it went to Joe Biden, and this was supposedly Hunter's business partner. Hunter wasn't even living. Hunter wrote in his memoir that he wasn't even living at Joe Biden's residence at that time. So, I mean, for all we know, the $250,000, that might have just been the cut for the big guy. There's probably millions of dollars elsewhere with Joe Biden's nieces and nephews or Hunter, who knows? Newsbuster says the beneficiary for the wires is listed as Robert Hunter Biden with the address 1209 Barley Mill. It's got the street address as well. The address is the main residence for President Biden. And what do you hear in the regime media? That sound that you hear is crickets. Nothing. says, according to Hunter's own diary, he wasn't living in Wilmington at the time. Could this wire transfer be for the big guy? Don't expect the leftist media to look into it. Just don't listen. Don't look into it. Don't worry about those images coming out of Philadelphia. Don't worry about all these child abductions happening in Cleveland. Don't worry about all the car theft and carjacks in Oakland. There you go. Don't worry about all these stores, these retail centers closing up shop because it's too violent in American cities. Just worry about Donald Trump. He may lose Trump Tower in New York City because of this crazy, deranged judge that decided, without a jury trial, without any kind of criminal proceeding, the prosecutors had dropped the case. But the judge comes along and says, hey, Donald Trump exaggerated. That's right. He said he had a property worth this when it was really worth this. I have decided this. That's fraud. No bank has filed a complaint. No insurance company. Nobody. All of these transactions, all that these loans that Donald Trump took out for this development or this property or this golf course, the banks made a ton of money. Donald Trump made a lot of money. But here comes some radical communist left-wing judge, just like with General Flynn. The case had been dropped and they still go after Flynn. That's what this judge has done. And the judge has decided, I know the Trump people are going to appeal it, and hopefully this judge gets smacked down. But what does this say about the sickness and the corruption in the United States when some judge in New York City says, yep, Donald Trump's guilty of fraud, and we're going to swoop in and seize control of his properties in New York. This is what the state of California tried to do with the Worldwide Church of God in 1979. Almost exactly the same. The state just determined, because of six angry dissidents who left the church saying that Mr. Armstrong's abusing his power, he's spending all kinds of money that is for personal purposes or gain. And so the state comes in and says, hey, we're going to have to take control of everything. I mean, they basically moved onto the property of the Worldwide Church of God. And you had all kinds of churches that didn't very much like Mr. Armstrong in the first place rise up in defense of him because of how unconstitutional and lawless this act was. And well, here comes the state of New York saying to Donald Trump, hey, we got you. Donald Trump has finally been ruined. Here's chapter whatever it is, chapter 89 of the book on how this finally finishes Donald Trump. Listen to clip 9.
This is sort of an exclamation point on the reality that Donald Trump is a fraud. This is such an across-the-board loss for Donald Trump, for his lawyers, for his family members, for his chief financial officer, Alan Weisselberg, that, you know, I'm sure there will be appeals, as Mimi says, but it's hard to see how this doesn't spell the end of Donald Trump, the businessman in New York.
Here's the end, finally. It's finally upon us. This judge, this deranged lunatic judge, said that the Mar-a-Lago property was probably worth $18 to $27 million. Forbes, just last year, estimated its worth at $350 million. It's just ludicrous. It's lunacy on display every day. And yet I'm sure it was featured prominently at the top of the hour this morning with Morning Joe. Sam looked up a property just down the way from Mar-a-Lago, a small little place on the beach that was selling for $60 million. This judge says Mar-a-Lago is probably only worth about $18 million. In what world where is he coming up with these statistics? In his mind, well, this shows that Donald Trump committed fraud. The bank doesn't think that. All the companies associated with these transactions don't think that. None of them have filed a complaint. This is just Letitia James coming forward. This is what she campaigned on. I'm coming in to destroy Donald Trump. She's fulfilling her campaign promise. Donald Trump's finished. We've heard that before. The New York Times. Judge rules Trump committed fraud, stripping control of key properties. Just think about that for a moment. Judge rules. No jury, no trial, no verdict even. He's just made a ruling. He's decided that Donald Trump committed fraud and his properties must be seized. A New York judge ruled on Tuesday that Donald J. Trump persistently committed fraud by inflating the value of his assets. So they finally got him. This time, not on moving boxes. This time they got him on exaggerating. Yeah, that's right. Just, I mean, this is very serious with four or five R's. Serious, serious, serious. Says here, the surprising decision, even the New York Times is surprised. The surprising decision is a major victory for Attorney General Letitia James in her lawsuit against Mr. Trump, effectively deciding that no trial was needed. This is in the New York Times. No trial is needed because I'm the judge. Listen, I'm up here. I'm right up here. I am the judge. I'm the jury. I'll make the decision. And he did. He decided, you know what? We don't need a trial. I'm just going to decide that Trump is guilty. Because I hate Trump. So does Letitia James. It says here, while the trial for damages will determine the size of the penalty, Justice Engoron's ruling granted one of the biggest punishment Ms. James sought, the cancellation of business certificates that allow some of Mr. Trump's New York properties to operate. I mean, the persecution is never ending. They're never going to stop. The goal is to destroy Trump, get Trump. The judge also levied sanctions on Mr. Trump's lawyers for making arguments that he had previously rejected. He ordered each to pay $7,500, noting that he had previously warned them that the arguments in question bordered on being frivolous. So he penalized the attorneys for Trump for giving a frivolous argument, in his view. Go after Trump, go after Trump's attorneys, go after anyone associated with Trump, go after anyone that texts a message to Trump or sends a message, any attorney-client privilege, get in there, find out that information. It's not covered by attorney-client privilege. It's get Trump at all cost. Sundance says, New York judge rules without trial, jury, or verdict that President Trump must dissolve all business interests in the state. How about that? How about that? Just going back to America Under Attack. It says, the Constitution was one of many blessings that made America the greatest nation in history. God has blessed America like no other nation, and the devil wants to destroy America like no other nation. Satan is marshaling every weapon he can to wreck America, and he's having alarming success. That's from the United States and Britain in Prophecy. It's from America Under Attack. Call our operators today and request your free copy of this or the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.